Today's shir is Masechet Yevamos, Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis of a Beis, seven lines from the bottom, at the beginning of the Gemara. Michti, ask the Gemara. Let's see. Kul machos isha yalpinan. As we had learned in the previous Mishnah, the previous shir, the 15 women who are arayus, that therefore, if one's brother is married to one of these women, and then the brother dies without children, Rechman al-Tzlan, and they fall to this surviving brother for Yibum, given that they're an erva to him, he may not do Yibum with her. And as we also learned in the Mishnah, and we'll learn more about today, Bezer Hashem, not only they are exempt from Yibum, but so too their tzaris, if they're married to another, if this brother who died without children had another wife, she too is exempt from Yibam. Says the Gemara, from where do we know this halacha? Mechos ish yalpinan. We learn it from a pasuk regarding the sister of one wife, and we will learn later in the shir. So if that's the case, that the source for the din of our Mishnah is achos isha, shouldn't listening achos isha bereisha, shouldn't that be the first erva that's mentioned in our Mishnah? V'chi teima, one will perhaps argue, tana chumri chumri nakit. The tana of our Mishnah, in listing the different arayas, goes in the order of which is the most severe erva. And we have a machloikis in Masechta Sanhedrin. As we know, there are arba mises bezdin, four types of misa bezdin can give out, skila, sreifa, herig, v'chenek, and there's a machloikis there between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon, which is the most severe of those mises. The Rabbanon holds skila is the most severe, followed by sreifa. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, holds sreifa is the most severe, followed by skila. So we will say that the man, the Amr of our Mishnah, is Rav Shimon, he the Amr sreifa chamura, that sreifa is the most severe, Einish, the most severe punishment, and therefore we mention first Arayas, whose punishment is Sreifa, which would be Bitoi. An example would be Bitoi, a daughter who, if someone has relations with her, the Einish is Sreifa. Ask the Gemara, if we want to mention Arayas, whose Einish is Sreifa first, the first erva to be mentioned should be one's mother-in-law, because as we will learn on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, the primary source where we know that there's a chi of sreifa by arayis, by bitoi, is from a chamoisai. So if that's the reason we're mentioning this erva first, shouldn't chamoisai be mentioned first? V'oid. And furthermore, if that's the line of reasoning you want to take for explaining the order of our Mishnah, Basa Chamoisai, Lisne Kalosai, after mentioning mother-in-law and the other cases for which there's a Chi of Sreifa, daughter-in-law should be listed, because as the Gemara says, the Basa Sreifa Skila Chamura. Even if we're following Rav Shimon's position, that Sreifa is the most severe punishment, Skila is certainly the punishment after Sreifa. And it should be mentioned, Kalosai, a daughter-in-law, who the punishment of one has relations with his daughter-in-law, Rachman al-Tzlan, is Skila. It should be mentioned right after those Arayas, whose punishment is Sreifa. Yet Kalosai is the last erva mentioned in the Mishnah. Ella, says the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah mentions Bitoi first, Kivan de Asiya Midrasha, as we will learn, the Torah does not explicitly say that one's Bitoi, and as we explained in the previous year, Bitoi in our Mishnah does not mean one's daughter who he had from the woman he married. Just Bitoi means a daughter who's his daughter from a woman that he raped. Kivan de Asiya Midrasha, it's not explicitly stated in the Torah that one may not have relations with such a daughter. It's learned from a drasha, chavivalei, that is especially dear to the Tana, and therefore he mentions it first. And as the Mefarshim explain, something that's learned from a drasha has a special chavivus, has a special place in Chazal's appreciating it. And the Reb Tzadok HaKohen explains it, because as we know, the entire Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, Koma Shetamed Vosik Osed L'Chadesh. And Rabbeinu Sadia goes a step further to say that all of the Torah is really in the Luchos, in the Aseret HaDibros. However, there are certain parts of the Aseret HaDibros that are very explicit. Anoich Hashem Elokecha. We all know what Anoich Hashem Elokecha means. It means that we have to believe in Hashem. The other parts of the Torah that are not that explicit, that are not that obvious in the Aseret HaDibros, one has to work to understand. And something that somebody works to understand, to accomplish, and then Baruch Hashem does accomplish, has a special chavivus to the person. Actually, Mefarshim, Rabbi Dalia Schweitzer says this, say that that's exactly what hoid, when we have in the sphera, one of the seven spheres is hoid, beauty. What does beauty represent? Beauty represents something that somebody worked to achieve and accomplished. And actually, that's what Lag BaOmer represents. Hoid Shebahoid, the day that of extreme beauty. It's the day of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, who represents the Amelus BaTorah of bringing out the Torah Sanister. That's Hoid Shebahoid. That's pshat in Kivin the Asim Adrasha Chavivilei. And I saw another interesting vart along the same line. We know in a Bris Mila, there are three parts to a Bris Mila. There's the actual Mila, then there's the Priya, and then there's the Mitzitza. The Mila is explicitly said in the Torah that one must make a Mila. Priya we learn from a drasha. The Pasuk says, V'shuv mo b'nei Yisrael sheinis. And Mitzitza we know from a Kabbalah from Chazal. Therefore Mila, which is explicit, we do with a sakin, with a knife. Priya, which we have from a drasha, we use our own hands, our fingernails, to do priya. And mitzitza, which is even more chaviv, because it comes from something that we have from a Kabbalah from Chazal, we do with our mouth. Ask the Gemara if we're going to explain that the reasoning, that the order of our Mishnah is based on something that we learn from a drasha, and that gives it precedence. Kulan nami midrasha asya. All of the arayas mentioned in our Mishnah that are exempt from Yibam are learned from midrasha, as we will soon explain. Answers the Gemara. Nay, dil inyan Yibam asya midrasha. Yes, as far as the halacha that these women are exempt from Yibam, that's learned from midrasha. However, ikar isuraya behedik sibil, that these women are prohibited, that these women are considered arayas, that's written explicitly in the Torah. However, bitoy, regarding the prohibition to have relations with one daughter, ikar is surah midrasha. The actual isser, the prohibition to have such relations, is only known from midrasha. Dama Rava, as Rava said, and we learned this Gemara Masechta Chagiga, Dafir Aleph, Omle Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdima, Asya Heina Heina, Asya Zima Zima. The Pasuk says, Erves bas pincha or bas pitcha lo segala arvoscha ki arvoscha heina. The Torah says that one may not have relations with his granddaughter. Then there's another pasuk that says Erves isha obita lo segala bas pincha bas bas pita lo sikach legalis arvoscha shara heino zimahi. The second pasuk speaks about one's wife's daughter or one's wife's granddaughter. So the second pasuk is speaking about a wife's descendants. The first pasuk is obviously speaking about one's granddaughter, even not from a wife. But neither pasuk discusses one's daughter who he had, not from a woman who he's married to. So even though certainly it would make sense to say that one's daughter is prohibited, if one may not have relations with his granddaughter, he certainly may not have relations with his daughter. But we know there's a klal, ein einshim en adin. We cannot establish and give punishments based on kal v'chomer. So how do we know that one may not have relations with his daughter? We learn Gzeirah Shava, the word Heina Heina. In the pasuk that refers to one's grandchildren, it says the word Heina. And then in the pasuk that speaks about one's daughter, wife's daughter, or wife's grandson, it says the word Heina. Just like that pasuk refers to a daughter, we say that the other pasuk also refers to a daughter. That's how we know that there's a Isser to have relations with one's daughter. Then the Gemara goes on with another Hekish. The pasuk says, "V'ish ashiikach as ish vas ima zima hi be'esh yisroifu oisav esen v'loisia zima b'soichem." This refers to having relations with one's mother-in-law, and the Torah says here that the oinish for such a relationship is burning. The Torah uses the word zima, as it's used in the pasuk that we just quoted regarding having relations with one's wife's daughter or granddaughter. So we make another Gzeirah Shava of Zima Zima to teach us that there's an Einish of Sreifa by one's wife's daughter or granddaughter. And since, as we said a moment ago, we also compared that Erva to one's daughter or granddaughter, so we know that in all of these cases, the Einish is Sreifa. Ask the Gemara, so that's why, since this wasn't said explicitly, that one may not have relations with one's daughter, it's only through a drasha. Says the Gemara, that's why that's the erva mentioned first in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, hashta de amrit, kamilsa de asim adrasha chavivale. Anything that we learn from a drasha is dear and is mentioned earlier in the Mishnah. So listening achos isha lipsayif. So the erva of achos isha, which as we said and we will learn soon, is the place where the Torah tells us yibam may not take place with an erva. So that's the smallest chiddush of the Mishnah. That's the pasuk that's most explicit. Shouldn't that be the last erva mentioned in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, correct. It should really perhaps be the last erva in the Mishnah. Al aydi da ayu v'issa achvasa. But when the Mishnah is speaking about the different relationships that stem from sisters, Tani echais ishta, he mentions that erva too, even though it should have been mentioned at the end. Ask the Gemara, fine, we want to keep Achos Isha together with all the other Ervas that are based on Achvasa. But listen, Lahai Bavel Absoif, let's teach that entire group as the last clause of the Mishnah. So the Rishonim say, this is the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, all of the different explanations we've attempted to give why in the order of the Mishnah have been refuted. And therefore, the Gemara gives a new explanation. El Tana Kroivi Kroivi Kanakat. The Tana mentions relations, and it goes in the order of what are one's closest relations. So that's why the first group that's mentioned in the Mishnah, Tana Bitoi or Bas Bitoi, Bas Bitoi, one's daughter and granddaughter, the Kroivi Atzmai, those are one's own closest blood relatives, closest relatives mentioned first. The Aida the Tana Sholosh Doros Lamata today. Once we mention three generations descending of the man's relatives, Tana Namish Sholosh Doros Lamata Dido. We mention three generations of the man's wife's relatives, which are her daughter and her granddaughters. The Aida Tana Sholosh Doros Lamata Dido. Once we mention those generations descending from her, Tana Sholosh Doros Lamata Dido. We mention three generations ascending from one's wife. We don't explain the Rishonim mention three generations ascending from the man, because as the Rishonim explain, it's not possible to have a case that someone's three generations above him, whether it's his mother or his grandmother, should be permitted to one's paternal brother. It would never have such a case. So that's why it doesn't. Those cases aren't mentioned in the Mishnah, and it's not included in the order of the Mishnah. Then we learn Achos v'Achos Imoy. The next group that's mentioned in the Mishnah is one's sister and his mother's sister, that again Kroivi Atzmai are his own blood relatives. V'aydid the Ayir be'issa Achva. Once we mention relations that come from sisters, Tana Achos Ishta, we also mention one's wife's sister. Says the Gemara, Ubedinhu the ligdama la kaloisai mikame ashes ochiv shalai balamai. Actually, The next case that should be mentioned is one's daughter-in-law. Before the case of the wife of a brother who they did not live simultaneously in the world. And as the Ramban explains, a kalosoi, which is a relative, certainly should be mentioned before this technical issue, as we explained in the previous year, that the Torah introduces the parasha of Yibum with the words kiyeshvu achim yachtov, that there's only a din of Yibum when brothers live in the world at the same time. So if one brother didn't live at the same time as the other brother, there is no din of Yibum. So therefore, the case of Kalosai should have preceded Eshes Ocher Shalaya Belomai. Rashi and Tosfos, however, learn that what's included in the Gemara's question is that the case of Kalosai should not have only preceded the case of Eshes Ocher Shalaya Belomai. It should have also preceded the case of Eshes Ochiv Mimai, because Rashi explains that the Oynish, when one has relations with Kalosai Skila, which is more serious than the Oynish with Eshes Ochiv Mimai. And even though, as we explained earlier, we're not following Oynish in explaining the Mishnah, but when we get to the end, when there are no other explanations, we certainly follow the Oynish. What Taisha says, Kalosai is certainly a closer relative, given that it's one son's wife, than this relative. So why is Kalosai mentioned last, after Eshes Ochiv Mi'imai, and after Eshes Ochiv Shlahai Balamai, says the Gemara, since the Mishnah is discussing relations of brothers, Tana Eshes Ochiv Shalahay Balamai, we at the same time speak about Eshes Ochiv Shalahay Balamai, which is also an Isser based on a brother, and Vahada Tana, and then afterwards does the Tana of the Mishnah mention Kalosai. Ask the Gemara, or my area Tana Paitrois, why does the Mishnah, in its introductory words, say Chamesh Asrei Noshim Poitros Tzarasayim V'Tzaras Tzarasayim? Poitros means exempt. The Mishnah should have used a stronger word, Lisni Oisrois. It should have used the word forbid, which is certainly a stronger word. Answers the Gemara, Itana Oisrois. If the Mishnah had only used the word Oisrois, Havamina, one would say Osla Yabim Avo Michlet Cholza. That the Mishnah would say, what the Mishnah is teaching us, that Yiba may not take place, but Chalitza may take place. Kamash Malon, by using the word Poitrois, it comes to say that even Chalitza may not take place. And as the Tosfos Yeshanim explains the Gemara, because it's somewhat difficult to understand the words the Gemara is saying, how does the Gemara want to suggest that if he would use the word Oisrois, it would lead us to believe that only Yibum is prohibited, but Chalitza is permitted? Wouldn't the wording of the Mishnah have been Chamesh Esrei Noshim Oisrois Tzarasayim V'Tzaras Tzarasayim Min Chalitza U'min Yibum? So it says clearly that they're exempt from Chalitza. Says the Tosfos Yeshanim that at this point of the Gemara believes that the word Oisrois and the word and Chalitza cannot be used together. So if the Mishnah would have used the word Oisrois, what would have been the wording of the Mishnah? The wording of the Mishnah would have been Chamesh Esrei Noshim Oisrois Tzarasayim V'Tzarasayim Min Ayibim, and Chalitza would not have been mentioned, and we would have erroneously believed that they may have Chalitza. That's why the Mishnah preferred to use the word Poitrois. Ask the Gemara, according to Tosfos Yeshanim, the next question of the Gemara is beautiful. Why are we saying that the word Oisrois and the word Chalitza cannot go together? Just because we use the word Oisrois, we can't say Chalitza? We could say Oisrois. Chamesh Esrei Noshim Oisrois Tzarasayim V'Tzarasayim Min Chalitza Min Ayibam, and we'll have the best of both worlds. We'll have this strong word of Oisrois, and at the same time, we'll know that they're exempt. They're Oisrois, they're forbidden both in Chalitza and in Yibam. Says the Gemara, my Ka'avid, how could you say that chalitza is osur? There's nothing wrong if one does chalitza. So before we go further, the Mefarshim ask a fundamental question. The Gemara is suggesting that if the Mishnah would have just used the word ice rice, we cannot use the word chalitza, and then we could think that they're obligated to have chalitza. Ask the Mefarshim, if they're not mechuyiv in Yibum, that means they remain an eishes ach, as we explained extensively in the previous year. Eishes ach is an erva, and an erva doesn't have chalitza, doesn't have yibum. Answers Reb Nachum that the Gemara is suggesting, the Gemara in the Havmina here believes that yes, if one is an erva, there's no chiyuv yibum, but perhaps chalitza is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to do chalitza to one's brother's wife who, when the brother died without children. There won't be any problem of erva. They're not having relations. So the Gemara is suggesting perhaps we should do chalitza to mekayim that mitzvah. And as the Gemara is saying now, my covid, because there's nothing wrong being done. Says the Gemara, alam aloy, of course chalitza should be forbidden. Because if you're going to allow chalitza, imata if you're going to allow chalitza, people will perhaps make a mistake and believe that not only is chalitza to be done, but even yibum is to be done. So therefore, ask the Gemara, going back, the Mishnah should have used the word ice rice and used the word min chalitza min a yibum, and not allow, certainly not allow yibum because she's an erva, and also not allow chalitza, because if chalitza will be allowed, perhaps they will come to do yibum. Answers the Gemara, the reason why the Tana did not use the word ice rice is kiva the mokka mitzvah he does see with sorrow. V'shloiva mokka mitzvah sharia v'shamachi tani poitris. The case of our Mishnah is referring to a case where one's brother is married to two women. And one of the women is the surviving brother's relative. As we've been explaining, Reuven and Shimon, Reuven's daughter married Shimon. Shimon dies without children. In such a case, since Reuven cannot do Yibum with Shimon's daughter, he also can't do Yibum with Shimon's other's wife. But what would be the halacha if there's a man, Chaim, who's married to two women, one is Reuven's daughter, and one is another woman, and this man dies? Now there's no din of Yibum. So certainly Reuven can't have relations with Chaim's widow, his daughter. But what about the other wife? There it's permitted. Says the Gemara, if the Mishnah would have used the Lashon Ois Rois, one can mistakenly believe that even under such circumstances, one may not live with his daughter's co-wife. To avoid such a mistake, the Mishnah used the word Paitreis than Oitreis. Again, to read the words of the Gemara. Kiyim with the Makamitz, in this situation that we're describing, Va Mishnah, of Yibam, that's where Hudas Sirat Sara, where one's Erevet Sara is prohibited. However, Shloib and Makamitzvah, just in a regular situation where one's daughter's or other relative's co-wife is Mutter, so to, there it's Mutter to have relations with her co-wife. Shemachi Paitreis, that's why I missed to use the word Paitreis, not Ice Rice. Ask the Gemara, or my ear, the Tani min chalitza min ayibum. Why did the Mishnah say that they're prohibited to have both chalitza and yibum? Listening min ayibum l'chudei, just mention yibum. Isn't yibum the primary mitzvah? Answers the Gemara, itana min ayibum. If the Mishnah only would have said yibum, hava mina, one would perhaps believe michlis chalitz yubilo yabma. What the Mishnah is coming to teach us, and this is what the Mefarshim explained, yes, on the Erva, you can't do Yibum, and you can't do Chalitza. But perhaps on the Tsaris Erva, we're not to do Yibum, but Chalitza should be permitted. Kamash Malon, not only permitted, but Chalitza should be required. She isn't an Erva. She's a surviving widow of the brother who died without children, so perhaps they should do chalitza. Kamash Malon, that's why the Mishnah teaches us. Kol oilu l'yibum oilu l'chalitza. If she's eligible for yibum, she's also eligible for chalitza. Because she ain't oilu l'yibum, ain't oilu chalitza. But if she's not eligible for yibum, she also isn't obligated to have chalitza either. So I saw a very interesting shaila, and this is the halacha, the yibum and chalitza travel together. So I saw a shaila, what would be the halacha if a woman cannot have yibum? Not because of the reasons that we're learning in our Mishnah, that she's an erva. For a different reason. Let's say one's brother's widow had made a neder, that she will not have any hanah from the surviving, from the other brother. So she's not eligible for yibum. But it's not because of one of the dinim of the Torah, it's because she has such a neder. Or the Rishonim discuss even a somewhat more complicated case. There was a person who was married to a woman. Let's say there was a Jew, Chaim, that was married to a woman, Chana. And he divorced her with the stipulation that she may never have relations with a person called Reuven. Which, as we will learn in Masechet Gittin, Mitzvah Shem, it's an acceptable divorce. Now, after he gets divorced, Chana goes and marries Shimon. Shimon passes away without children, and Shimon is Reuven's brother. So now Chana, who's not allowed to have relations with Reuven because that previous tanai that her first husband made, what's she to do? They can't have yibum. Will there be an obligation for chalitza? So it's a machloikus rishonim. If in such a case do we also apply the din of kol she'ein oil liyibum and oil chalitza? And Rishonim say that in the first case we mentioned, when she made the nether, since when she made the nether, she has the ability to have the nether annulled, she should have chalitza. In the second case, where it's not in her hands to have the nether annulled, it's based on her first husband who may not even be here, there we have a machlokes Rishonim, Ramban, and Ritva, if chalitza is required. Ask the Gemara, fine. We explained why the Mishnah had to mention both Yibam and Chalitza, or why the Mishnah at least had to mention Chalitza to teach us this din. However, we're listening to a Yibam and a Chalitza. Shouldn't Yibam be mentioned before Chalitza, as we just said that Yibam is the primary mitzvah? And Inami, or even another question we could ask, why didn't the Mishnah just mention Chalitza L'chadah, that she's exempt from Chalitza? And if she's exempt from Chalitza, she's certainly exempt from Yibam. Answers the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah said this was because the Mishnah wants to teach us the din of Abishol. Abishol hi, dam mitzvah Chalitza kaidemis l'mitzvah Yibam. That it's more of a mitzvah to do Chalitza than Yibam. Because we will learn that Abishol says that if someone marries his Yevama not for the sake of doing the mitzvah, he considers this that perhaps Kara Be'enai says that the child born from such a union would be a mamzer. Chalitza's Yibam is only permitted when one knows that his intentions were 100% pure. And therefore, our Tana wanted to bring out the point, and it says Chalitza and Yibam, Chalitza being mentioned first, to say it's better to do Chalitza because it's very hard to be sure that you're doing the Yibum properly. And actually, that is the halacha that the Ramah brings down, that we don't do Yibum, we only do Chalitza. There's an interesting machloikus rishonim. What will be the halacha according to Abishol if someone did do Yibum and he did not necessarily have the proper intention? What will be the halacha? So here we find the machlokes rishonim. The Ritva says that since the Torah says there's a mitzvah yibam, and the mitzvah yibam involves that the yavam should have relations with the yavama, he did that mitzvah, and Chanami Abishol says he's supposed to have the right intention. He didn't have the right intention, but certainly he was mekayim the mitzvah. The Ramban, on the other hand, holds that according to Abishol, one who did not have the proper intention when he had relations, it's as if he had relations with an erev of Eishes Ach. And it's difficult to understand what the Ramban is saying. Didn't he do the mitzvah? Isn't it that when the brother died without children, she's no longer considered an Eishes Ach? Says Rabbi Chanan Vassman in the Kibbutz Oritz, and this is the way the Imre Moshe explains this, that according to Rabbanan, yes, the moment a brother dies without children, the wife, if she's not an erva, the Isser Eishes Ach is removed, and then the Yavam who has relations with the Yavama, that's what the Torah requires. Say these Mefarshim, in explaining Abba Shaul, however. They explain that Abba Shaul is telling us there are two steps in the mitzvah of Yibam. One is that the brother dies without children. But that's not enough to take away the erev of Eishes Ach. There has to be a second step, that the Yavam has relations with the Yavama l'shem mitzvah. Only then, and then alone, is the Isser Eishes Ach removed. Without both of those conditions met, she's considered an Eishes Ach, and that's why the Ramban could say that according to Abba Shaul, if he did not have the right intention, it will be considered as if Chas v'Shalom he had relations with an erev of Eishes Ach. The Noi de Behuda says that Abba Shaul is only referring to a case where his intentions were completely l'shem noi, sake of beauty. But if he had a combination of contentions, both l'shem noi and l'shem mitzvah, Abba Shaul will agree, all Rishonim will agree in Abba Shaul, that that is considered acceptable kinyan of Yavama. So the Paiskim ask interesting shayla. As we said, certainly Ramah, people from the Ashkenaz community pass like Abba Shaul, and we don't do Yibam, we do Chalitza. But in certain cases, Chalitza cannot be done. For example, let's say either the man or the woman cannot speak. As we said yesterday, part of the Chalitza process is that they have to read Psukim. They can't. Or let's say the Yavam's feet are deformed, or he's missing part of his foot, so we can't put a shoe and have the shoe removed. What will be the halacha? So it's interesting to note, first of all, we have Machloikas Rambam and Rashi. Rambam says that just like we just learned that the halacha is that whatever Yibam is not done, so too Chalitza is not done, he says the same is vice versa. If Chalitza is not done, if Chalitza cannot be done, neither can Yibam. But Rashi doesn't hold that way, and that's the halacha, that even though Yibam can't be done, even though Chalitza can't be done, that doesn't mean that Yibam should be done. So here, the Paiskim say, given that Chalitza is not an option, Yibam should be done, even Abba Shaul will agree. But now we have a question that the Beis Meir, and the Rechayim, and other Paiskim discuss. Let's say, this man, this Yavam, is already married. And we know there's a Chayim de Rabbeinu Gershim, when one may not take a second wife. Will he be allowed to take a second wife, this Yavam? Or will he require a hetamei rabbonim? So certainly all Paiskim say that if there are brothers who are not married, they're the ones that should do the Yibam in this case. But let's say there are no unmarried brothers. So most Paiskim suggest that a hetamei rabbonim will not be required. Because the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom was only said when the person on his own free will wants to take a second wife. Here he's doing it because it's a makom mitzvah, and therefore he could do it, even he could take her as a Yavama even though he has a second wife. But certainly he should not remain with her, because one may not remain with two wives. And says the Beis Meir along the same lines, even though there's a Chaim de Rabbeinu Gershom that one may not divorce his wife Bal Korcha without her consent, here he will be allowed to divorce this Yavama without her consent. Again with the same line of reasonings. When the Reinu Gershom say that one can't divorce his wife Bal Korcha, that's when they got married. They both agreed to get married. So the halacha is they can't get divorced unless they both agree. Here, however, he only took her as Yavama because the Torah told him he must. Therefore, in this case, the Chayim Reinu Gershom is waived and he could divorce her Bal Korcha. The Mishnah began with the words Chamesh Esrei Noshim. And we need to understand why does the Mishnah have to enumerate the word, the number 15. We could count and see that there are 15 arayas mentioned in the Mishnah. Similarly, towards the top of Amud Beis in the Mishnah again used the words, Harei Elu, Paitrei Tzarasayim V'Tzaras Tzarasayim. And again, we need to understand why does the Mishnah have to say Harei Elu. Minyana de Rieshid L'Mutimai, the Chamesh Esrei Noshim. Minyana de Seifa, where it says Harei Elu, L'Mutimai, says the Gemara, Lamuti the Rav the Ravasi. The point is to teach us that our Mishnah does not agree with the dinim that Rav and Ravasi said. For Rav says a din that if the brother who died, one of his wives was a Saita, a woman who's suspected of adultery, she's not going to be a candidate for Yibam Mechalitza, nor will her Tzara. Rav Asi said that if one of the wives of the brother who died was an ilanus, a woman who can't have children, and as the Rishonim explained, this brother was aware that his wife was an ilanus, and therefore the kedushin was a kedushin l'chaladeis. If one of the wives is an ilanus, she's not a candidate for chalitz and yibam, neither is her tzara. That's what Rav and Rav Asi say. Our Mishnah doesn't agree with Rav and Rav Asi, and it's taught to us by saying the word Chamesh Esrei Noshim and Harei Elu to say we don't agree with Rav and Rav Asi. And Tosfos asked the question, which we'll come back to in a moment, why then do we need it to say both miutim? Why couldn't one miut have eliminated and excluded both of these dinim? Asked the Gemara, L'Rav U'L'Rav Asi, but according to Rav and Rav Asi, that these women are indeed exempt from Yibam and Chalitza. So according to them, what are the numbers of Chamesh Esrei and Harei Elu in the Mishnah coming to exclude Lamute Mai? Says the Gemara, Israel Adadadi, and Rav and Rav Asi each agree to the other one's din, Chada Lamute Tzaros Mamamenes, that it comes to exclude the co-wife of a minor who refused the Yavam. That means, if Shimon was married to a Ketana, who, as we explained in the previous year, was married off by her brother or her mother, which is not a Kedusha Daraisa, she has the right, as long as she's not a Gedoyla, to do Miyun, refuse the marriage, and just like she could have done it to her husband, she could do it to her Yavam. The halacha is that not only is she not eligible for Yibam and Chalitza, but even a co-wife is not eligible. Why? As we will learn in Mitzvah Shem, because as we learned in the Mishnah, if this woman who could do Miyun was a relative, there the halacha is the co-wife doesn't do Yibam. So Chazal expanded the Gezerah that even when the wife that's doing Miyun is not a relative of the Yavam, her co-wife should not be allowed to do Yibam. Many Rishonim say that the co-wife would have to do Chalitza. The halacha is that if one divorces his wife, he may remarry her, provided that she did not get remarried in between. So if he divorced his wife, she remarried, and then she divorced her second husband, he takes her back, he was over a laugh, the halacha is that that wife is not eligible for Yibam and Chalitza, and even a co-wife is certainly not eligible for Yibam, perhaps even for Chalitza. So those are the two cases that are exempted in our Mishnah. V'ilai Sfirlu Dahadadi, if Rav and Rav Asi do not agree with each other, that means Rav only holds that a Tzaris Soita is exempt, and Rav Asi only holds that Tzaris Islandness is exempt, Chodel Muti Dechavrei, one will be to exclude the din that the other one said. So now we could understand an answer to a question that we mentioned in the previous year that Tosfos asked. Tosfos asked, why does our Mishnah begin with the words Chamesh Esrei Noshim? Shouldn't our Mishnah begin with the words Chamesh Esrei Arayis? Because that's the whole point of our Mishnah, to teach us Arayis. Says Tosfos, our Mishnah, we want to explain that we're not agreeing with Rav and Rav Asi. And the cases of Rav and Rav Asi aren't referring to Arayis. They're referring to Machzik Rishosoi, Mamenis. I'm sorry again, Islandus or Soita, which has nothing to do with Arayis. That's why the Mishnah used the word Noshim, not Arayis. Ask the Gemara, but according to Rav and Rav Asi, that a Soita and a co-wife, an islandess and a co-wife are also exempt from Yibam and Chalitza. So why aren't they mentioned in our Mishnah? Listening, shouldn't they be also included in our Mishnah as the group of women who are not Chiv and Yibam Chalitza and also exempt their co-wives? Answers the Gemara, Lefish Enem B'Tzaras Tzara. The case of our Mishnah of Tzaras Tzara would not apply to them, as the Rishonim explained. If we have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Shimon is married to Reuven's daughter. So when Shimon dies, Reuven can't marry his daughter or even her co-wife. But that doesn't affect Levi. But if Shimon was married to an islandess, if Shimon was married to a Soita, all the brothers are the same with his relation to this woman There's no one brother more or less. So the case of Tzara Tzara would not apply. Our Mishnah only wants to mention cases where Tzara Tzara could be applicable. Now we understand the answer to the question we asked. Why do we need two miyutim for Rav and Rav Asi? Since both of them are not included in Tzara Tzara, we need an separate miyut, says Tosfos, for each. Continues the Gemara. Menani mili, from where do we know, as we said at the early in the year, that an erva is exempt from yibum and even exempts her co-wife? The Tanna Rabbanan, Isha l'choysa l'sikach glitzror l'galos l'esa l'abachaya. One may not marry his wife's sister. Now the question is, Allah matam alayim. Why did the pasuk have to say the word Allah? L'fisha nemer, because the pasuk says, Yavama yava aleho. That even if the wife that's a yavama is an erva, the mitzvah of yibum should take place. Therefore, it says nemakan aleh. The Torah uses the word here aleh. The nemalahalon aleh. The Torah uses regarding yibum aleh malahalon b'makom mitzvah. Just like that pasuk is referring to the place where we're trying to do the mitzvah yibum, af kam b'makom mitzvah. This pasuk is also referring to makom mitzvah. Vam rachmana, and the Torah still says that if she's an erva, even if you're trying to be in kaiyim mitzvah yibum, loisikach she may not be taken to be kaiyim mitzvah yibum. Vainly elihi. This only applies to the erva herself. Tzarasa minayin. How do we know that it even applies to the tzara? Tamaloimer litzroir. Vainly el tzarasa. I know that it applies to a co-wife. Tzaras tzara minayin. How do we know it even applies to the tzara tzara? Tamaloimer litzroir. The Torah uses the word litzroir v'loi lotzor to teach us that it even applies to tzara tzara. Ask the Mefarshim, as we've been explaining, if there's no chiv of yibum on the tzara's erva, because she's the tzara of erva, so she remains an eishes ach. An eishes ach is erva like all other ervas. So certainly when she goes and marries Levi, and then Levi has a co-wife, so it's certainly a case of a tzara's erva. Why do we need a separate pasuk? So one pshat that I saw from Chaim Briska, Chaim Briska says that the Isser keeps on perhaps getting weaker, one could argue. And therefore we need a pasuk to say that it stays the same as a Tzaras Erva. But another pshat that I saw from Shimon Shkop, beautiful pshat. He says like this, yes, we have the case again that we explained, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Shimon was married to Reuven's daughter, passes away. Reuven cannot have relations with his daughter, and therefore, as we just learned, cannot have relations with his co-wife either. When the co-wife goes now and marries Levi, which was 100% acceptable, and he has even another co-wife, but that's not the focus, and now Levi dies. When this woman is now falling again to Yibam to Reuven, it's a new nefila. It's an entire new situation with no connection to what happened previously. And since it has no connection to what happened previously, one could perhaps suggest that now she's not an Eishes Ach, because she's not related at all. That's why we need a pasuk. Vainly el chayis isha. One could only suggest that this is only by chayis isha that there's a din, that an erva, a tzaras erva, doesn't fall to yibam. Shara rais benayim. How do we know that this applies with other rais? Amrit. We explain. Ma chayis isha miyuchedes. What's a special characteristic about a chayis isha? She erva. V'chayov and azodayin occurs umashigos aichates v'sur l'yovam. Af kol she erva the chayovin as doin a curse for shigase chatas any erva asur liyovim. Ask Tosfos, how can we compare every erva to achayis isha? Achayis isha is in my power to make that I should have more achayis ishas. I marry more women and I'll have more women than achayis isha. The other ervas in the Mishnah are not something that are in my control. So that's why the Rishonim answer to Tosfos Kasha, what the Gemara means to say is that we find throughout the Torah that all ervas are compared to each other. Vainly Elohein, we only know that the erva itself is prohibited to have yibum. So the same anayim, how do we know it applies to the co-wives also? Answers the Gemara, Amrit. Ma yechosh ish miyuchedes. What are the characteristics of yechosh isha? She erva. V'chayov ma'al zodoyne koros v'ashigose chates v'sur liyavam. v'tzaras asur, and also it applies to a co-wife. Av kol she erva v'chayovin azodayin akaras v'ashigase chatus v'surul yovim da'aloch is tzaras a co-wife is asura. V'kan amru chachamim from here chazal toras v'chameshas v'inoshim poitas tzarasayim v'tzaras tzarasayim min chalitzim min ayivim atzoy fa'olim. Now, as we learned in the previous year, our Mishnah spoke about 15 arayas who have the unique characteristic that they can be married to one brother even though they're prohibited to another brother. Says the Gemara, Yochel Shani Marba Af Sheish Arayas Chamurus Meila, but there's 6 arayas that can never be married to any of my brothers. That in that case, Sheikh Tsarasayim Asuris, that in those cases, the Tsarasayim should also be forbidden. And perhaps we could say that if there's a man, and we explained this at the beginning of this year, who's married to one's daughter or to one of the other ervis, and Taisha says that the Gemara's question is not limited to these 6 ervis, the Gemara's question applies to all ervis, and the Gemara's question is that perhaps one should say that if there's a man who's married to one's relative, there's a man who's not related to me, Chaim, is married to my daughter and has another wife, and if Chaim dies, just like I'm not allowed to marry my daughter, I should not be allowed to marry Chaim's co-wife. Certainly it's not even a mukkah mitzvah, perhaps one should be argued that way. Says the Gemara, ma achosh ishi mechedes shi'a erva v'chayov na'azodayna karas v'ashigas achatas v'efshali nosel acherim, she can marry my brothers v'sur l'yovim v'tzerasa asura af kol shi erva v'chayov na'azodayna karas v'ashigas achatas v'efshali nosel achim v'sur l'yovim. That's when tzerasa asura, only when they fall to Yibam. But the other 6 arayas, or really as Taifa said, all arayas, when they're not marrying my brother, because they're not allowed to marry my brother, then in such a case, I may marry the co-wives. The only time that there's a halacha that one is not allowed to marry a co-wife is only when she falls to Yibam. Ask the Gemara, ask the Brice, Ashara Shemana, we only hear an Ashara. How do we know that the Oynish remains? And as the Mefarshim explained, Rav Naftali Trupp explains this, we said this really earlier from Chaim Brisker, perhaps we should say that even though it's, since there's no Chiv Yibam, but maybe the Isser Eishas Ach became weaker, and the regular Oynish of Eishas Ach does not apply in such a case, Oynish Menayim, the regular Oynish of Eishes Ach will remain if it's not the Mokum Mitzvah of Yibam.